In God, there are no true coincidences. The fact that Andy and Grace are getting married on June 22nd, the feast of Saints Thomas More and John Fisher, is no historical accident. Today is not merely a convenient early summer afternoon when the Church of St. Agatha, St. James, and the Union League of Philadelphia both happen to be available. It's not just a nice, grateful homage to the fact that the first time Andy set his eyes on Grace 4 years ago was at the Church of St. Thomas More in Manhattan. The reason is not simply because Grace and Andy are daily Mass goers, know the liturgical calendar, and have a devotion to these two great British saints. The deepest reason is because God in His providence desired Andy's and Grace's marriage to be associated in a particular way with John's and Thomas's feast. He wanted their loving union to be inspired by John's and Thomas's sanctity. He wanted their wedding anniversaries each year to be flavored by John's and Thomas's life and love, their testimony, and their triumph. As many of you know, St. Thomas More is one of the most famous laymen in the history of the Church. When he was 27, he met the affable and beautiful Jane Colt. Their marriage was happy, and God blessed them with 4 children in their first 6 years of marriage before Jane sadly died. Within months, out of love for his children, he married the sharp-tongued widow, Alice Middleton, 4 years his senior. Together, they raised his and Jane's 4 kids and Alice's and John's daughter, Alice. Thomas More had a great practical love for the sacrament of marriage as part of God's plan for the sanctification of men and women in ordinary life. St. John Fisher, on the other hand, was a priest, a theologian, eventually Chancellor of Cambridge, and a Cardinal of the Catholic Church. He became Bishop of the Diocese of Rochester the same year Thomas married Jane. And even though several richer, more prestigious, more capable dioceses were offered him over the course of time because of his talent, he remained spousally united to his poor small see out of love for the family of faith that God had entrusted to him. We celebrate them together liturgically because in 1535 they were both martyred under King Henry VIII for their witness to the sacredness of marriage. Henry, as many are aware, wanted to receive an annulment for his marriage to Catherine of Aragon, who was unable to conceive for him an heir, so that he would be able to marry Anne Boleyn. But there were insufficient grounds for a nullity declaration, and Pope Clement VII refused. Henry, not used to getting his own way, decided to separate the Church in England from the Pope, establish himself as supreme head of the Church in England, appoint Thomas Cranmer as Archbishop of Canterbury, loyal to him, and have Cranmer try to grant him an annulment and pronounce his marriage to Anne valid. Henry also wanted the bishops and prominent citizens to swear oaths that he, not Christ or Christ's vicar, the Pope, was head of the Church in England, and that his and Anne's progeny would be legitimate heirs to the throne. Even though the vast majority of clergy and faithful, through pressure, bribes, or self-interest, took those oaths, John and Thomas refused. John wrote 7 treatises defending the Church's teachings on marriage. Thomas, a lawyer and eventually Chancellor of England, remained resolutely tight-lipped. But everyone knew, including Henry, the conscientious reason for his silence. After being imprisoned in the Tower of London for not taking the oath, they were both condemned to death, with John dying 484 years ago today and Thomas 2 weeks later. They were both, just like John's patron, St. John the Baptist, before them, martyrs for matrimony. Andy and Grace, by God's joining you in one flesh today, you too are called to be together, martyrs for matrimony. This vocation is not inconsistent with your prayers and the prayers of today's rite of matrimony, asking God to bless you with many years together and eventually, after seeing your children's children, a holy and peaceful death. The word martyr in Greek means witness. And you are called to be witnesses of God's plan for marriage, just as much as Thomas as a husband and father and John as a priest and bishop heroically did. You're already doing that today simply by getting married. As Christians have believed and taught from the first centuries, today you are not only receiving a sacrament, a sign and means of intimate communion with God, but are becoming a sacrament, a visible sign pointing to the invisible reality of the Trinitarian loving communion of persons. You have been called, chosen, and commissioned by God to be not just a living reminder of the fruitful, faithful, indissoluble love of God for His people, and to reflect efficaciously in your own marriage Christ's love for His bride, the Church. But you're being summoned to preach that gospel of human love and the divine plan in words and body language for as long as you both shall live. This is the martyrdom, the witness of holy matrimony every Christian couple is called to give. Today that testimony is more urgent and needed than in centuries. Sacramental marriage between a man and a woman has become a courageous and countercultural act. So many are afraid today of making a commitment, especially a commitment that's for better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness or health, all the days of one's life. Seeing so many relationships break down, many of your fellow millennials prefer to keep their options open. They refuse to entrust their future to another. They seek to receive some of the comfort and benefits that come from relationships that in many outward ways resemble marriage, but without giving themselves totally to what God desires and true love requires. Many others are confused about what marriage is, with some thinking it's just romantic symbolism, or a piece of paper, or a temporary union for as long as two shall love, or a changing reality whose meaning can be defined or redefined by the parties themselves, or by the popular culture, or by the Supreme Court, or by a modern-day King Henry. Today, Grace and Andy, in contrast to the spirit of the age, you are making a very public profession about marriage and its nature and its importance. You're publicly proclaiming that you're entering not into a contract but a covenant, a sacred commitment not just to each other but to God, consecrating your love in a special way within the love of the God who created you, brought you together, and who today makes a sacred commitment to you to accompany you for richer and poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, all your days. You're openly declaring that what you desire is not just to make the other happy, but to be God's instrument to help make the other holy. You're avowing that the gift you ultimately want to give each other is not a beautiful ring or the exchange of a last name or even the gift of yourself, however faithful, fruitful, free, and total, but you're overtly affirming that you're seeking to give God to each other, to help each other grow in God's image and likeness. You're asserting that you want your bond truly to be a holy matrimony, one that will lead you hand in hand, we pray, down the nave of a sanctuary far more beautiful than this, for a nuptial banquet that will know no end. You're making this witness together at a time when many people, as St. Paul noted in the second reading you chose, do not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desire, stop listening to the truth, and are diverted to romantic myths. To use Jesus' image in the gospel you selected, they build their relationships on various forms of sand, commitments and lifestyles that cannot withstand the storms of life that will inevitably blow and buffet against it. You are doing something different. You are intentionally seeking to build your life on the rock, the solid foundation of God Himself and what He has revealed to you about marriage and the divine plan. You're not just crying out, "Lord, Lord," with words, but seeking to ground your individual and communal existence in doing and fulfilling His will to perfect you in love like His. Today, the Church is saying to you, as St. Paul said to Timothy in today's second reading, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. Be self-possessed in all circumstances. Endure hardship. perform the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Jesus sent out the 72 disciples two by two in order to carry out that ministry of evangelization. Today, that same Jesus launches the two of you hand in hand to proclaim in and through your marriage the fundamental core of the gospel, God's spousal love for us and our call to receive and reciprocate it. He has given you each other to help you fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. And through both of you, he wants to help so many others join you in that holy battle, complete that marathon, and live and spread the treasure of our faith. Even though viewing marriage as a sacred mission is not that common today, you are certainly not alone as joint martyrs of matrimony. God has blessed you with so much help. He has blessed you first with the witness of your own parents, something for which both of you have told me you are so grateful. From my parents, you told me, Andy, in the essays I had you write as part of marriage preparation, I received the best possible formation, both spiritual and material. By word and example, my parents transmitted to me the faith in its entirety. You also mentioned to me the way your grandparents taught you, how fruitful marriages can create a very large and unified extended family, where excellence and virtue can touch a broad swathe of society outside of the family itself. Grace, you told me, my parents instilled Christian virtues into our home, and they continue to do so. My dad embodies sacrificial masculinity, selflessly serving our family through his work, while also providing deep emotional support to each of us. My mom has so many qualities that remind me of the Blessed Mother through her femininity, generosity, and humility. They exemplify a good and holy marriage for my siblings and me, operating inspiringly as a team and showing us love through their sacrifice and devotion to each other and to our family. How lucky you both are that God continues to bless you with them and their witness in your life. Continue to receive that crucial support. Second great gift he has given you is the example of each other. The deepest reason for today's celebration is that you have found in each other someone who shows you a standard of Christian witness that inspires you never to stop growing in faith. Andy, when I asked you what you love about Grace, you responded with a litany. Her deep interior life, you said, the way she supports me in prayer, her love for Mary, her love for Joseph, her love for many of the saints, her love for her family, the strength of her friendships, her intelligence and quick mind. She comes to pray with me at 10 p.m. if I haven't yet prayed before the Blessed Sacrament. She prays for me and encourages me in my work and the causes I support. She comes to family events and spends time with my friends. She rearranges her schedule to make time to speak to me when I'm traveling. She's always paying attention. When I asked you, Grace, the same question, you were equally effusive. Andy is a selfless, thoughtful, mature, and loving man. I am so grateful for his formation. He seeks to serve me in any way he can. He welcomes my thoughts and seeks to help calm my anxieties. He's so gentle with me. He learned early on how important words are for me, and he tries to speak words of affirmation to me as often as possible. He also seeks to serve others and strives to do his apostolate well. He's not afraid to speak the truth, even when it's difficult or unpopular. He's constantly trying to improve himself in every aspect of his life, especially as a partner, but also in his work and spiritual life. He's never complacent and is always seeking to become the best version of himself. I'm honored that I have the privilege to marry Andy and thrilled to have him as the leader of our family. Grace and Andy, God has given you each other to continue to help you in these ways and in others he will reveal to you over time. Continue to receive each other's help. And the third and most important means of help is God Himself. As you make a sacred covenant today with each other, the Holy Trinity and the two of you also make one. In the back of this church, on the right side, is a beautiful stained glass window of St. Francis de Sales, one of the greatest and most practical saints of all time. In his introduction to the devout life, he challenged young Christian spouses to seek to relive in their married life each day the mystery of the wedding feast of Cana. We know in Cana of Galilee, that young couple invited Jesus and Mary's mother to their wedding, and it was through their presence that not only was their reception saved by Jesus converting 180 gallons of water into precious wine, the equivalent of 912 bottles of wine, but Jesus also elevated the water of their natural love into the wine of his divine love. Something that obviously points to the way that Jesus would later transform wine into his blood so that his outpoured sacramental love would be able to flow literally through our veins. St. Francis de Sales encouraged all couples to remain in Jesus' love by inviting Jesus each day into their home, into their prayer together, into their work, into their joys and sorrows, their disagreements and reconciliations, into the entirety of their married life. He noted that many marriages struggle and some fail because rather than inviting Jesus, Mary, and the saints into their marriage, many couples invite Adonis and Venus, the pagan gods of Eros, or bring in the golden calf through the worship of money and material things. They invite, in short, the standards and ways of the world rather than those of God and the friends of God. Jesus wishes couples to remain in his love, and he is always ready, eager, and indeed desirous to receive an invitation to come not just to their wedding and reception, but to remain in their life as their full-time bridegroom, 24/7, for as long as they shall live. He wants you, Andy and Grace, not only to receive him personally and together, but to show others an example of receiving him, so that other couples too might learn how he desires to change the water of their natural love into something far more precious and lasting. The greatest means of inviting Jesus into your home and married life is by responding to Jesus' invitation to enter his home and his life. That's why it's so fitting you're getting married in the context of a nuptial mass here in God's house. The early Christians used to illustrate the reality between marriage and the mass in their architecture, covering the altars with a canopy, just like ancient marriage beds were covered, to communicate that the altar is the marriage bed of the union between Christ the bridegroom and his bride the church. Catholics believe that it's here on this altar that we, Christ's bride, in the supreme act of love, receive within ourselves the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, the divine bridegroom, becoming one flesh with him, being made capable of bearing fruit with him in acts of love. This is the greatest means of all by which Christ regularly renews couples in their indissoluble one flesh union. This is the way husband and wife receive within Christ's love and become more capable of loving each other with the love with which he has loved them first. This is the channel Jesus provides to strengthen couples to continue in their courageous and even countercultural witness to the sacrament of marriage in all its fullness. How beautiful it is that 196 days ago, when you, Andy, proposed to Grace on the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception in Our Lady's Chapel at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, you did so at the end of Mass, after 10 minutes of thanksgiving for receiving Jesus within in Holy Communion. That day, the Immaculate Conception, which we celebrate the beginning of our redemption and the I do, or the fiat, of the one who was full of grace to God's proposal for her vocation, you dropped to a knee and asked a stunned, other grace-filled woman for a similar yes. Your engagement began with the Eucharist, and today, so does your marriage. In the words of Sirach from the first reading, You are not appearing before the Lord empty-handed. As the Lord gives himself to you, you are giving yourself to him and to each other and seeking to love with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. Your self-offering, as Sirach said, enriches the altar and rises as a sweet odor before the Most High, as a most pleasing sacrifice that will never be forgotten. Let your whole marriage flourish in this Eucharistic key, as you learn from Jesus here how to say yes to each other in body language, making your life a Eucharistic echo. This is my body. This is my blood. This is my heart, my sweat, my tears, my labors, my joys, given out of love for you. This is the source and the summit of a Catholic married couple's life and the most fundamental witness. On the day of the proposal last December 8th, Grace, not knowing what was coming, you asked Andy to begin the day by making a pilgrimage, praying the rosary from your apartment on 98th Street down 47 blocks to St. Patrick's Cathedral. You told me that because of the surprise, you never finished the pilgrimage. There's something highly fitting and symbolic in that, because the pilgrimage you began was not supposed to finish on December 8th. That pilgrimage continues and will continue each day of your marriage, as together, hand in hand, enveloped by the prayers of the Queen of the Family and all of us who love you, you journey through life, up hills and down valleys, to that heavenly altar where we pray you both will receive not rings, but the crown of righteousness St. Paul in today's second reading alluded to. Today, as we celebrate in tandem the triumph of John Fisher and Thomas More as martyrs of holy matrimony, we pray through their intercession that one day we will be able to celebrate jointly St. Andres Ignacio and St. Grace Elizabeth, just like we do Blessed Luigi and Maria Quattrochi, just as we do Saints Louis and Marie Zélie Martin. We pray that you, through their intercession, might give a joint witness, not just to the sacred institution of marriage, but to the way that through it, God can, wants to, and does make a husband and a wife truly holy, and their family a sacrament of his own life and love. May God bless you both today with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, and through you and your cheerful matrimonial martyrdom, bless us all. Praise be Jesus Christ.